Which ones do you want me to take? The false ones?
Okay,
everyone who practices devotion to Mary is always doing the will of God. That's false. Not all devotion is true devotion. That's the whole point of the treatise on true devotion to Our Lady. There's a positive explanation in order what that means to be a slave of Jesus in Mary. However, we can also contrast true devotion with false devotion, and many people practice false devotion to Our Lady. That's not the will of God.
How?
If we are doing God's will, we will be deeply devoted to Our Lady. But there are all kinds of devotion. People think they're doing the will of God when they're minimalists, opposing the co-redemption, etc., or hiding their vices, parading around the world. Look at me, I'm the saint, the one who can really advise. They get to worm their ways into all sorts of subtleties, etc. The devil manipulates it. It's false devotion. Everyone who practices devotion. The key is you have to qualify the word devotion. Most of these sentences that seem to be true but are actually false, there's one word that's equivocal. Wherever you have an equivocation in any, you have to distinguish in what sense it is true and what sense it is false. If you assume all devotion is true, no problem. But that's precisely the point. Not all devotion, or what goes under the name of devotion, is true devotion, and this is where that treatise is so useful. I think I tried to outline the characteristic features and stress that in particular. So 5, we cannot give ourselves entirely to Mary, who is a creature, and also belong entirely to God, who is. This is one of the most common objections today amongst theologians. If you give yourself entirely to Jesus, you can't possibly give yourself entirely to another person. But this is the whole point. You're thinking as an individual, as Jesus is like one of us. We have to turn it around and see how we can become like Jesus, and we can only become like Jesus through Mary. That is the whole point. No Mary, no Jesus. People would say, why can't I? No Mary, no Jesus. It's not a question what God could have done. It's the only way God is doing it. So you're going to have to get along with doing it. It happens to be the best way. However, it remains absolutely true at the real level. No Mary, no Jesus. No co-redemptrix, no redeemer. All the way on. Joint predestination of Jesus and Mary. This is appeared in the bull of definition of the Immaculate Conception, the bull of definition of the Assumption, and in slightly different terminology, it's also in Vatican II. Jointly predestined. I think it's in number 58, Lumen Gentium. Now you can check that. Let's see, another false one. If we gave our merits to the Blessed Virgin, we will be giving up what does not belong to us. No, we won't be giving it up, because absolutely our merits belong to Jesus through Mary. Now, there's no such thing as merits which are absolutely mine and don't have any relationship, as it were, to the rest of the Church, and especially to that preeminent member of the Church who is Our Lady. And hence, as it were, we want, as it were, also to contribute to the treasury of the Church, which is under the control of Mary, by God's will. So if you're going to take your merits all for your own, they won't do you much good at the pearly gate. It is wrong to desire, this is 11, it is wrong.
Can you cover 10 entirely related?
10. Absolutely speaking, we do not give up our merits when we give them to our Lady. That is true also. Because when we give them up to Our Lady, we're practicing total consecration, and they become ours in a matter more perfect. Or as St. Maximilian puts it, give your merits to Our Lady, let her polish them, make them look like hers. You aren't losing anything, you're gaining immensely. If you try to present them to our Lord, how do you know that he's going to be particularly appreciative? But he is appreciative of Our Lady. That's guaranteed. And if she covers for you, you're in like Flynn, as they say. This is the story. St. Bonaventure, I was old when he told it about the lax monk. But he didn't do one thing. He prayed the Marian Psalter. That was 150 Hail Marys. That's three crowns of the rosary. Never neglected that. So I really intervened. I said, give me a drop of your precious blood. Lord, say, hey, Mother, you gave it to me. Therefore, willingly, she put it in the scales, and that tipped the balance. But he stayed in purgatory for until the end of the world to make up for all the bread. But anyway, he didn't end up in the hands of Satan. This is what is meant here, absolutely speaking. We do not give up our merits. But this is one of the hardest things for Western Christians to understand today. The sense of belonging to the mystical body, not an individualism. And this is one of the things that fueled the Protestant Reformation. Right. And we are all under that influence. We see everything in terms of my merits. Therefore, I cannot possibly, as we're given totally to another person. It's my part. People don't think. That's true in relationship to other people in the same society. But it's not true in reference to our Lord. It's only on loan from Him. There is no such thing as a checkbook at the pearly gates, and people are. I think that some of them are still horrified when every so often I bring them out as a sermon. If you're going to do anything, write a check now in support of our Lady. That's when you get more for your dollar. But if you wait till you're by the pearly gate, that's too bad. The checkbook is down on her. somebody else has already got your property. You can't give it to our Lord then. Anyway, He doesn't need you to give it to Him at that point. Again, this of course, there's such a thing as private property, but let us not absolutize it in that way. It serves a purpose here on earth. It's not necessary in heaven. That's another thing that can't be understood. When Franciscans maintain that before the fall of Adam and Eve, there wasn't any private property. But why do you need it? Nobody would have tried to cheat anyone else out of anything to guarantee that. Now we need it because of sin to guarantee the dignity and especially the personal place of the father in a family. That's the reason for generate the capitalist system so you can make more money. This is okay. Where are we next here?
Number 11.
It is wrong to desire a heavenly reward for our good works. Right, is exactly that. Again, that comes from regarding the rewards and punishments in a purely materialistic way. What there isn't now is, yeah, Lord spoke of having a treasure in heaven, but that is understood today as being selfish. Any love of self is, and I can answer that very simply, our Lord never said that we shouldn't love ourselves. The question is, how do we love ourselves in a way that is good and holy in order to be able to love our neighbor? By seeking our salvation, by seeking merit in heaven, which is not totally and exclusively ours, but our merits help others. This is the point. Only in that way can you get it across. But if you go any further, then you've got to train people to think metaphysically. They think purely in material terms. All justice is material justice or commutative justice. Quid pro quo. I gave you so much, I want to see equal back. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is the way people still think at the present time. That is because of the individualism that had crept into Western society some half a millennium ago, or maybe more. Maybe at the time of St. Francis was already pretty clearly evident. Go ahead.
I guess we're going to go to the false ones, right?
To the
12th.
It is more pleasing to God if we do not expect to gain any merit for doing the will of God. From a typical Protestant, especially Calvinist point of view, that probably appears to be true, but it is absolutely false. It's more pleasing to God if we do merit. Merit is not an exercise in self-centeredness here. Merit is the way in which our wills are proven. This is why God gives us heaven as merit as well as a grace, because our freedom, our dignity as persons is not taken away, it is enhanced. And this is the way in which merit must be explained, not in reference solely to money. Material reward.
13.
Our Lady's love for God was so great that she did not want any recompense for her practice of virtue. Equally false. that he did. So did our Lord want to marry. This is why he came. And this is why, as the whole Catholic notion of redemptive salvation, redemption, satisfaction, etc., expiation, reparation, is no longer understood even by Catholics. There's a whole evangelization, catechization, as it must be entered in here, as were distinguished properly and explained the Catholic theory, which is based upon the possibility of merit, and to merit is satisfactory, expiatory, reparation. Except the same thing, number 14. I think the greater the love, the more it prescinds from merit, because merit is to act, as it were, simply for personal advantage. That is not the case. But in this case, the advantage here is that first, before we can love God as he loves himself, we must first be saved to do that perfectly. And we cannot be saved unless, as it were, we cooperate in that work. This is another point. The whole idea of cooperation has been X'd out in X'ing out Our Lady as co-redemptrix. She does merit. You'd be surprised how many Catholics, only Christ can merit. But you push this too far, you will say with Luther, neither did Christ merit. He saved us as God, not as man. He was only, his human nature was only an instrument, bait for the devil. I'm quoting.
Okay, the 19.
19, Mary united her sufferings with those of her son to cooperate equally with him in the salvation of all. She did unite her sufferings, but not to cooperate equally.
Equally is the key.
She is in a subordinate way, but a subordinate way doesn't mean a way which is useless, worthless. This is the problem with the word subordinate in English. It doesn't have the same meaning as it has in Latin. However, what it does mean is basically to equally that Our Lady is personal day is equal to that of a divine person of her Son. On the other hand, people will say, well, then he didn't obey her. But he did obey her. This is the other paradox. He was so superior, and yet, as it were, he submitted to her. By consecrating ourselves to Mary, we give her our merits, graces, and virtue, not necessarily, unless we include that expressly. Especially the degrees of perfection in the way in which we actually consecrate ourselves to her. Now, what St. Maximilian did, and I'm rather certain St. Louis as well, yes, they did give their matters as recommended. However, you can consecrate yourself without actually offering to be a victim soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, right, well, I think 20 and 21 goes together.
By consecrating ourselves to Mary, we give her our graces and virtues to be communicated to others as she sees fit. That is true.
Right. So 20, the questions that we're not giving to Mary. Mary is, like you said, polishing it, enhancing it,
yeah.
So to distribute it,
yeah,
to others. Okay.
The problem with 20 is that it is not specific. It leaves, as it were, the meaning undetermined. Whereas when we consecrate ourselves, we do so in a specific way.
Also,
people can consecrate themselves to Mary without giving their merits. But if you do so in the way in which St. Louis and St. Maximin did, that is what you do. But you have to, as it were, precisely make that explicit.
Right.
It can't be something as vague.
Right. But 20 also implies that Mary is hoarding.
Yeah, this is what it means.
Yeah.
This is what it means, that she is the one who is in charge of distributing these merits, and this is what goes against the grain for so many people. I want to be the one who sees, determines what is done with my money. And people will give a large donation to the church, but then they'll put strings on it.
Yeah.
They have to have their monument out front.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they won't simply give something and be humble. I mean, there are many generous Catholics who do give things in this way. They say, Father, old bishop, just use it whatever way you think best. You determine it. And this is what we do in more universally with Our Lady.
24.
On lesson 24 is another related, unless we make a perfect consecration of ourselves to Mary, we are not totally pleasing to God. That doesn't follow. God doesn't require us to make the total consecration, therefore we'll lose our souls. No. On the other hand, and as I said, when you say not totally pleasing to God, there are degrees of being told what the way in which I'm totally pleasing may not be as total as the way in which St. Francis is, or St. Maximilian. All these questions I have, there's some point at which there is an equivocation. Something is left unsaid, or something that is said in a way that is, as such, is truly misleading.
So it's about an hour now, Father. Should we just hold off for the next
time? Next session,
okay.
Whenever that is.
Okay. Thank you. This is a very big help.
Okay. Well, I hope there will be until.